It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We will have Janet Manko in just a few moments when she calls back in. But right now, in the place of Cynthia Hoffman, who was on vacation, we have Alexander Wilburn, who's in the middle studio. Good
Hello.
Morning. Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second.
Now we've got to give you a mic.
Hang on a second here. There we go. This will work. There you go, Alexander.
Try it again. Say hello.
Hey. Am I here?
All right. And we have Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
How I'm not alone.
No, you're not.
You're not alone.
You're in isolation.
I'm physically alone.
Right. You're isolated in the... Remember how there used to be the isolation booth for game shows?
Yes. Well, that's right. But there's no $100,000 waiting for you once you
get out. Correct.
This is before my time.
It was way before your time, as a matter of fact. All right, well, we'll start off taking a look at the front page. And, of course, we were just talking about this. You've got pictures right across the top of the front page of the Lakeville Journal with our flash thaw, the Housatonic River, backed up almost a mile and a half from Bulls Bridge to Kent. Pretty amazing story.
It's really incredible. You think all the danger is when the snow comes down, when it's frozen. Apparently, as soon as it gets warmer, we're in more danger. This was a really interesting and complicated story to do because the paper goes to press on Tuesday. We're putting everything together Monday morning, and things were changing hour by hour. There were new updates. Our Kent reporter, Elise Sadler, was constantly keeping us informed, constantly changing the story as it evolved. But it was really important for us to get all of the information together so you could read about it in one concise block. See some of the edges, although I'm sure everyone's been on Facebook and been looking at these. But I think it's a nice story to read because it shows what happens in this area when we have a crisis and who really steps up. And I was surprised to see that this wasn't something that was just contained to one town, but Brian Uller came over, was involved the entire way. It was really a regional effort.
Well, that is. I put it this way. It happened in Kent, but it happened on the Housatonic River, and everybody feels a portion of ownership to the Housatonic River that lives in this area. And we've seen ice jams before, not this early, not this massive. I mean, when they said basically this is ice from Connecticut and upper New England that has flowed down, and it's 12 feet thick and it's almost a mile long. That's just staggering.
It is pretty unbelievable.
And it's a once, really, for people, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see Mother Nature at her most powerful. And it doesn't happen all the time like this. So that's what's great about the story. It describes in detail everybody that's involved in it.
And you mentioned, Marshall, and so did Alex, that Brian Uller has been right on top of it. And he and Bruce Adams, the first selectman in Kent, the town, are doing updates very regularly. We will keep reflecting them on our Facebook page as well and drawing people to his updates.
All right. We're going to move on to another story, which I caught my eye, Alexander, and it's your story. Corner ready to join 21st century? Question mark.
Question mark indeed. Yeah. So I started talking to Northwest Connect, which is an organization that's built up of a lot of familiar faces, Brent Colley and Sharon, Roberta Willis. And they want to implement a fiber optic network in Northwest Connecticut. This would give us clear internet access, clear cellular phone access. It's something that we haven't really seen in this area before. As we know, we drive around, you lose service all of the time. An example that I pointed to was I talked to Felicia Jones, who's the project coordinator. She had an incident where she came across a car accident and she had to leave because she couldn't call 911. She couldn't stay with the driver who was injured. She had to leave to find cell service. That's a really scary situation, I think, as a young person. There are a lot of older people who are used to that. But if you take away even just public safety of having perfect cell service everywhere in the region, internet is the backbone of commerce these days. You can't have businesses who are going to come here without perfect internet. No one's going to move their hedge fund headquarters without broadband.
And the whole thing is the only other option would be towers.
Towers, which are big, they're ugly, and they emit tons of waves because they have to cover a large period of space. Fiber optics emit much less because they're smaller, there are more of them and they're covering less and they're less obtrusive to the eye.
Well, we'll see. I guess probably the big stumbling block with this is probably financing.
Financing is going to be, so the idea is that they're going to do a public-private merger, which is a utility company would pay for 50% and the towns would pay proportionally the other 50%. What you're looking at is a very small monthly per house tax increase that would essentially pay for itself over 20 years. And if every new town got a new business, that would be, it would pay for itself.
The tax base would grow exponentially.
Yes. This is something that is a great solution to a question a lot of the towns have been asking, which is how do we get young families to come to town? And there's no better solution than this. This is the only thing that's going to provide new businesses and new jobs and new opportunities for people who are living here.
All right. I want to move on to a story that that Shaw did with a Nigerian-American author in Winsted.
This was an interview that he did with OKDB, who is a Nigerian author in America. He has a book that came out last year called Never Look an American in the Eye. It's a memoir about his childhood in Nigeria and coming to America. And one of the jobs he had early on is the editor of the African Commentary, which was a publication for writers of African descent founded by Chinua Achebe. If you don't know who Chinua Achebe is, he is probably the greatest Nigerian author of the 20th century. His 1958 book, Things Fall Apart, is what we think of as the archetypical African novel. It was the first African piece of work to really get acclaim and was a bestseller in America. This isn't in the story, but Dibe went early on in his career to interview Achebe. This is his hero. He gets to the restaurant. They have their talk. He comes back to his apartment. He gets all his friends together to listen to the tape recorder, presses play, and there's nothing on it, which is, as a reporter, it just makes my heart start beating just thinking about that. But Achebe was very gracious and granted him a second interview, and they went on to work together. This is a relevant story, though, because we had a big debate about this at the Journal on Monday. We include a piece of profanity in the story that Trump spoke to when talking about certain African countries, including Nigeria. And we were not sure what to do. But when we don't know what to do at the Journal, we defer to a higher power, which is the AP Style book. And AP Style on their Twitter actually had a whole blog post just about, a lot of you have been asking what to do about Trump, quoting Trump in this instance. And they said, we're going to publish it. And so we went ahead and did so.
Okay. Now you've got two stories on the bottom of the page, An Outsider's Inside Pentagon. And it goes with the top story. It was Tim Abbott's history notebook, The Ice Facts.
Tim Abbott, who writes great nature reports from us, couldn't be more relevant this year, this week. So they're great companion pieces. And then our reporter, Leela Hawken, just independently went to the Pentagon. They have this day called Show Some Love, where selected charity organizations can go to the Pentagon and present their case to the employees there. She is part of Surgeons of Hope, which provides pediatric surgical teams to perform open heart surgery in Latin America. It's a really amazing cause, but the story is really just kind of funny. It's about this older woman just going through the procedures of being checked out so thoroughly just to go stand and plead her case at the Pentagon.
All right, now very quickly, you guys asked for pictures of dogs in snow, and you got it, and they're all there in color. I think that's great. That's on page A2.
We got so many. You know, you never know when you reach out to the community what you're going to get. But I know people love their dogs. They love their dogs probably more than we love each other up here. And we got a ton of really, really, really great photos that people have taken, and more to come. So keep sending them in, because our inboxes are getting filled with puppies, and I love that. It's what I want to see more than anything else.
All right, Patrick Sullivan on page A6, no Connecticut money and offing for new roads. Once again, the Northwest Council of Governments really having to deal with nothing but gloom and doom.
This is so disappointing. And right up atop is regional improvements being halted. Infrastructure, you know, it's not a sexy problem. It's not something that people can really get riled up on Facebook about, but it is a really pressing issue. Having safe roads, it's something that affects us every single day. And the fact that you can look on any stretch in Main Street in Region 1 and see a dent in the road, see areas you have to avoid, it's something we have to consider. It's something we have to fix and push through. And this, as news, just couldn't be more disappointing to me.
All right. Interesting story, and I like the end of the beginning, and that is what happened with the churches closing and merging together, which really affected people in Lakeville and Sharon.
Certainly.
Around here.
Yes, this is Lila Hawking interviewing Father Ian Hyatt, who has a great spelling to his name, about the merger. And they've merged. This is the end of the beginning, meaning they're kind of coming into a new rhythm now, and what the church is going to be from now on. So if you are involved in any way, it's worth a read. But I think it's just an interesting story to see what happens. These are close communities, but also with very separate personalities. And they are now all together as one.
All right. I like the story by Patrick Sullivan of Scoville Library and the chair of the physics department from Bard. And you know, you read the story and then it says, then he got weird.
I purposely sent Patrick this because I thought it was not something he was going to enjoy. I think he ended up enjoying it, though. This is the physics department head at Bard College, Matthew Deedy, who did a lecture potentially explaining quantum physics to Salisbury. Whether he succeeded, you will have to read to find out.
All right. Out of Winsted, Shaw's story about the Night for the American Mural Project.
So the American Mural Project, which has been in the works forever, is really starting to come together. It's almost at the end. It's going to be a real source of tourism in Winsted. And they have had a great internship program, bringing students from outside the area to really put on hands-on fundraisers. And this was one of them, which was a concert and dance party to raise funds for the mural project.
On page A8, the obituary, and Jenny, you can chime in here. Walter Shannon passed away on January 9th. Just a real standout person in our area.
Yeah, he was such an icon in our community. And, you know, all the years that he was in Lakeville and we were in Lakeville, we would see him every Thursday morning. He would come into our building, pick up a paper, and stay and discuss it. And it was a highlight of the week. So many people knew him, and if you read through his obituary, you'll see all the different organizations he was a part of, and really a loss to our community.
There's certain people that just have this knack of being affable. And John Harney had that, and Walt Shannon had that.
Yeah.
And they're now both gone, so our thoughts and prayers go with the family. You know, we go over to your sports page, and it's interesting because you've got a real nice story on Fred Williams, and anybody who doesn't understand what Fred Williams did with the Northwest girls basketball team should read this story. He's basically the UConn women's coach of high school sports.
Yes.
And who Colleen, with her story, putting ice back in the icebox, talks about Norfolk and the ice time and stuff like that. We will take a look now as we go to your editorial page and opinion page, Janet. Safer Town Crossing needed in Salisbury.
Right. You know, all of our towns in this region face this with Route 44 going through the middle of town for so many of them. And Winsted had this issue a number of years ago and redid the center of town, and it's made it better. In Salisbury, it's really time, we believe, to take a look at how traffic is handled in the middle of town and how to avoid more crises there in the center, both driving and pedestrian accidents have just seemed to have been increasing, and it's time to look at solutions. So we have several suggestions here. We talked about many people about it, and Alex, who's there in the studio, was one of them, and he had ideas on solutions that are in here too. And we'll see what feedback we get, if people have ideas on this, and you know what could improve that downtown. Write to us, and we'll get it in the paper.
You know, you put lighting in there, and the thing that gets me about the new construction project in Lakeville is the great lights that they've got installed, but they're not on yet. And this is the time of year where they're needed more than ever.
Absolutely.
When it gets dark at 4:30, this is the time those lights should be working. Because, and you're right, Janet, there's a lot of great interesting things in your editorial. I only go, when I go to Le Bon's, I go on Academy Street and I leave the other way. I go out behind Steve Older's.
I do too.
Because it's a safer way to exit.
It is a safer way to exit, but it's not the way that people are inclined to do it. And
Right. It's certainly not the way you're encouraged to do it either. You know, Marshall and I do it. We've been here many years. We've come to that conclusion. Part of the issue is that there is parking when you look to the right coming out of Academy Street, and it's just impossible to see without sticking your nose out, and that leads to problems. And it's just something that we need to be able to look at some of these solutions and accept some of them. And not having the lights on, because not only the dark, it's dusk when it's so dangerous. And even the daytime, we have to be more careful and look at our speed as we're driving downtown.
Now, I have to say, I haven't laughed so hard from a little thing, and I'm not going to take a look at the letters, folks, and look at Alan Tucker's letter, because it is absolutely hilarious, and it's only about 10 lines long, but it really, in a funny way, hits the absurdity sometime of American politics.
It does, and I have to say, when Alan sent the letter in, I certainly got a good chuckle out of it, too, and when I talked to him about it, he said, do you think people will guess that I'm being, you know, it's supposed to be funny.
Facetious?
Facetious, a little sarcastic.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope
so,
too.
You know, and I don't know, about a million years ago, somebody told me, oh, you use words that are too big. You should make them smaller. And I actually said, nah, you know, people should just figure out what they mean.
That's
so it's kind of, you keep putting it in, and sooner or later people will get some humor back.
And you've got, you've got from the desk, Joanne Ryan, and of course I love news of a very narrow interest. I like that.
Yes, it is. This is a vision by M.A. Duca of having a different shape to his columns. So they're simple, they're short, quick read, and visually different than anything else. So we'll see. I'd love to do a survey to see if that's the first thing people read on this page because of that. But we also have really good pieces from Carol Asher, The Dangerous Pleasure of Being Right, Dick Aulis on the GOP Fixing the Fine Mess We've Gotten Into, and as you said, Joanne Ryan on Connecting Commerce.
All right, and I want to bring out the Housatonic Student of the Week on A13.
Yeah. We have Dean Sicardi, who's the Student of the Week. We're really thrilled that Assistant Principal at Housie, Ian Strieber, is sending in the Students of the Week.
And a great photo from him this week.
Oh, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, the kid has great hair.
Yes.
Great
yes.
hair.
But, you know, we all have bad hair days. Somehow, between Dean and Ian, they got just the right day, just the right photo, and he is great. So read about him, and you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
All right. Now, we want to go over to the Compass because it's not a big Compass, but you've got a lot of great stories in it.
Yeah. We have Fred Baumgarten writing about the piano concert upcoming at Hotchkiss. It's Lionel Morales, and I think as just about everybody within our hearing knows, Fred and his wife, Jenny Hansel, will be leaving the area soon, and we have just loved having them on our pages in Compass, and we still love it that he is going to continue to write for us about music every so often, we hope. You know, things can change. But for right now, take a read on this. It's a fantastic piece, and the concert is coming up at Hotchkiss on January 19th. We have a wonderful review of The Post, the movie, and editor Ann Day went to her contacts in Washington and coerced or somehow cajoled Mark Plotkin into writing about it. He was in the middle of this at the time and now, and you can read the description of who he is and his take on the movie, too. Yeah. And we have a wonderful winter sports piece on cross-country skiing from Wiley Wood. We do have snow. And three great photography shows that Philippa Feigen-Malkin went to one, and Ann Day went to two of them. And so don't miss these wonderful indoor activity and short day trips to take to see them. And a great tri-corner calendar.
I like in your review of the Post, which is I've got to see it because everybody says it's a great movie, that what they leave out is that it wasn't just Richard Nixon who lied to the American people about this. There were four presidents that lied all along.
That's right.
About and that is the onus is put only on Nixon, and Lord knows Nixon deserves a lot of onus for a lot of different things.
That's really true.
But he's not the only one that kept lying to the American
sort of
public.
Everyone has to widen their lens in the context of history. I swear to God.
Right, and actually, not if people do not know that, this is a great way to catch up on it quickly. Is go to see this movie, and as you become more interested in it, there's plenty more to read about it.
All right, and the health section we've got to get in. I thought maybe you would write for Cynthia, but you didn't.
I didn't. Cynthia was sick right before she went on vacation, because that's the way it always goes, and she still managed to write a health column, and she wrote about being sick.
Right.
And so she wrote about chicken broth and then left me with the assignment, photograph chicken broth.
That's right.
Which,
how'd that work out?
You know, I didn't know what it was going to be. I don't know what you do with chicken broth. It's semi-transparent and kind of brown. I did my very best. Pick up the paper and tell me what you think.
It came out okay, and then very quickly, the emergency room at Sharon Hospital is back to being local. That's a huge story.
Yes.
And it's a good story that should make everybody feel comfortable.
Good job, Alex.
Thank you.
He did a fantastic job this week, and we're grateful to have him on our staff.
Good job, and Alexander, we might not see you next week, but it's good to see you again. And
it's nice to see you again.
Whenever you pop back in, it's great.
We do,
Janet,
we'll be happy to have you.
We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. Find out all the stories and more either in the paper or tricornernews.com or their Facebook page as well. And, of course, you can hear this rebroadcast at On Demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on the Lakeville Journal.